You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any other announcements? Okay, no other announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in 2 Peter today, chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing and this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Well, we've had some nice weather just recently. I've been enjoying the outside, going out in the evenings and doing a few lawns and things like that, but enjoying the temperatures. Very nice. It has been. I think it's going to change, but nonetheless, we enjoy it when it comes. And Seppi and I were talking about going for a walk out at Indian Point. I don't know whether you've ever visited there, just near Lake Thunderbird. But we went against it because we recall what happened about this time, or maybe earlier. One time we went in a similar place and we came back and all over our clothing were ticks, lots and lots of these ticks. And when I looked up in YouTube, there was a guy who went out somewhere in Florida, and anyway, he came back from a walk and he got one of these sticky rolls, and he went over his clothing and then he showed you the sticky roll and it was just loaded with ticks. And then I looked up and did a little bit of research on the ticks here in Oklahoma, and then there's lots of different varieties of ticks. And they just look nasty, don't they? When you look at the picture of the sort of the, there's a kind of a pattern on their back too, and red and all kinds of colors on there. They just look nasty. Blood suckers, yeah. So, yeah. But we have been enjoying a lot of different outdoor activities, and we've got lots of beautiful American goldfinches coming in, absolutely beautiful things, coming in pairs, and enjoyed watching them. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for the time we've got together. We ask you to bless this service in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, we'll do some one-off talks, I think, for a little while. I've got this one here, The Sons of God and Their Progeny. I think there's some great ideas which actually connect with my previous sermon. And I was looking at this topic of, the habitation, the idea of a body. So it does kind of connect with much of what we've done previously, and the idea of the resurrected body. But if you go across to Matthew 22 with me, and this is verse 23, where the Sadducees, so you know, all the different cults of the Jews would come in and try and get the Lord Jesus in some aspect. Now the Sadducees, they did not believe in the resurrection. They say there is no resurrection, and the Pharisees do believe in a resurrection, and of course we believe in the resurrection because it's taught in the scriptures. In fact, it's emphatically taught in the scriptures that there is a resurrection and that there are special resurrections. That's the other thing that comes up, a very interesting aspect of what we have come to understand in the Bible, and that is that our hopes are generally fulfilled through resurrection. And because these hopes are fulfilled at various times, so there are different timings for resurrections. Verse 23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him. Okay, good. So this is the way it's going to be introduced. A little group of people going to push their theology onto the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And that's certainly a teaching of Moses. Moses' law had that. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother, likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. So now you've got all these marriages in the context, different husbands. And last of all, the woman died also. Well, after seven husbands, yeah, I think it's time to die. And verse 28, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. You believe in resurrection. Here they come, you see. They want to catch him. They want to catch him out, you know. And Jesus, verse 29, Jesus answered and said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Your error comes because you don't know the scriptures. And you just watch how the Lord's going to pull the rug out of underneath them. Nor the power of God. Now God, of course, he's powerful in many, many different ways. And it's an interesting study to understand the nature of God's power. Because God's power is not going to be exhibited to make a contradiction. God confines himself to logic, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Now, it's very important you see this. There's two sides to this coin. One is they don't marry. That's the first thing. And secondly, they're not given in marriage. Because a part of the way in which marriage was set up is that there had to be a giving, right? There had to be this idea of an organization of the marriage, and that the bride-to-be would be given. But are as the angels of God in heaven, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Okay, so the rug was pulled from under their feet because the Lord said, there's no marriage. So whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Easy. There's no marriage. There's no giving of marriage. Okay. So that dealt with them. But the important thing to see here is that it's talking about the angels of God and their, of course, natural state. There is no marriage and there's no giving of marriage. And so I put it here just in case people wanted to look at it. Now, our age, it's interesting to see what the scriptures say about the other creation, the other part of the realm of God's creation, as it works with our age, right? I mean, I find this age in which we are living just amazing. That's things that are happening right now around the world. We don't necessarily have all the details of the answers, but we do have some prerequisites. We do have certain things that have happened in the Bible which would feed and inform us about possible answers to what we see going on around us. And anyway, we could trust God. That's the final answer to it. And I'm going to get quite specific about this. And probably I'll give another message around this topic. And the topic is UFOs. Right? The topic is, what do you say about all of these things that are being claimed about UFOs and aliens and things like that? There are some tremendous things already being admitted by people in places of authority, which will blow your mind, really. But just look here. This is Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. Yeah, okay. So we know what we are. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Okay? Against the rulers of the darkness of the world, of this world. That's interesting. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, you see that word high places. In tois epurenois. In heavenly places. That's what it says. In heavenly places. Well, that's kind of interesting, don't you think? Because our hope has been assigned to us in the heavenly places, and we know, according to this, that the real warfare that's going on here is against these powers, against rulers of darkness, against the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Heavenly places have some parts where there is spiritual wickedness, where there are fallen creatures, and we are actually in a warfare with them. So that's kind of a, wow, that's a revelation in itself. And a very famous one, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God. Well, what about these principalities and powers? Are these the same fallen ones, the ones that we're doing warfare against? Doesn't say that. It just says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. They are interested in the manifold wisdom of God, which has been imparted to us, and we in turn will impart it to them. What, are these the evil ones? Are these the fallen ones? Or are these the ones who are on God's side? Or just all of them? Right? Just all of them. The spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Is there anything in here that says that they will not be listening to this also? It seems to me that there is a listening or a possible listening by all kinds of different creatures within the heavenly realm. And this heavenly realm is not simple. So it's not just simple to say, well, when you think of the earth, that's not simple either, is it? Right? We have different countries on the earth. Not all countries are the same. They don't all start the same way. They're certainly not all going to end the same exact way. And within there, the ranks of the principalities that are ruling the different countries, different things are happening. Is it possible, therefore, that in the heavenly realm that there are different compartments and places there where also there are places like countries, different ranks of beings doing different things, and that they are interested in what we have to say concerning the manifold wisdom of God? Now, when you look at the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is very, very interesting when it comes to angels, because it sets up a demarcation between the Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry with Israel, and the nature of his embodiment. For example, here I've got some really interesting passages, and I've quoted here Hebrews 2:5, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak." So we speak about the world to come. Okay. "But unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come." What's going to happen is that in the world to come, he's going to put human beings in charge of the world to come. He's going to change them through resurrection. So that while we are certainly at the moment below the angels in power and substance, but in the world to come, the world which is being discussed here in the book of Hebrews, there's going to be a reversal going on, a sudden reversal. In Hebrews 2:16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. To effect this, to make this happen, in order that there would be this great turnaround. It's an amazing thing that's discussed here. Have a look across to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. It's a tremendous book, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, because it relates so much to these various entities relating to beings created differently to us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, it says this, but ye come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Uncountable number of these angels. Can you imagine this? These angelic beings. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay, so there's a perfection here for those men who will find their place in this new Jerusalem. And we understand that by the fact that they will have to overcome to make it in there. But it's an angelic realm. Isn't that amazing, though? Just don't ever think that any of God's creation is just going to be something that's casual or it's not amazing. It's going to be amazing. This new Jerusalem is just going to be a tremendous thing. And then as you come down further, look at chapter 13 and verse 2. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And notice this. Some have entertained angels unawares. They were unaware of the fact that they were entertaining angels. Do I believe that these are angels of the order and rank of the angels mentioned in the book of Hebrews, which are spirits, spirit beings? Yes! Yes! I believe that these are, in context, real angels. But the point that I want to show you and make you think about is that it's quite possible that you would be unaware that they were angels. How would that be? Because they would just look like us. They would just look like us. So that's fascinating in itself, don't you think? They are of a completely different order. They have tremendous power. And yet when we see them on the earth, they appear just like us. And so it is. If you go back into the Old Testament scriptures and you look at when the angels appear, they just appear to be men. They eat. They drink. They just appear to be men. And yet, they are of a totally different order of creation. This is wild. I know it's wild. But it's nonetheless a part of the scriptures. Now, I want you to look at this passage. And this comes from the book of 2 Peter. And 2 Peter chapter 2. And I know I'm picking out various things, and sometimes you've got to do that in order to focus on our ideas, the specific ideas. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, the angels that sinned. Is it possible for angels to sin? Yes. Sin is the transgression of the law. What is not of faith is sin. Right? but cast them down to hell. Cast them down to hell. This is a place which in the Greek text is called Tartarus. Tartarus. And deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. This puts the whole context of the flood into a totally new setting, a new perspective, right? A new perspective is coming here. That's an eye. Okay? A new perspective. And, you know, like a lot of things that we've come to see, when you understand this whole topic of right division, man, do you get a different perspective on the scriptures. And man, do you get excited with it. And delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, and a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Can you imagine the preacher of righteousness? It's going to happen! It's going to happen! Look at that guy there! What an idiot! What a fun! He believes in God! He believes in creation! He believes that God is going to judge! And then it happens. Same thing's going to happen to this world. You know, same type of thing. Won't be a flood, but it's going to be a flood of a kind. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You look at the nature of the sin that entered in here. You're going to see that the sin here relates to sexual matters. It does. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Okay, now, so what? I want you to see now one more passage. This comes from the book of Jude. Just a very small book just before the book of Revelation. Jude 1 verse 6, or Jude 6. And the angels, here it comes, look at this. We're talking about the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. Similar context here, but notice a little bit more detail, because it says the angels which kept not their first estate. Angels. Here is Terero, keep their own beginning. See, their own beginning. There's the arcane. Their own beginning. And then it goes on, which kept not their first estate, but left their own, but they left, to idion, their own, oiketerion, their own habitation. Oh, it's interesting to find how that word is used. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5:2, it says, for in this we groan. What's he talking about? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. The habitation here, the same word that's being used here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the habitation is the body. And the angels which kept not their first estate, that is how they were originally organized. They were organized according to a body and a function with that body. But left their own habitation, let's just put it in there, left their own body. He hath reserved an everlasting chains under darkness. They left their own body. Now, okay, let's go back to the book of Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Let's see what we can say about this, and then we will prognosticate about what could be going on in the world around us. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. Genesis 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The sons of God, many times just a reference to angels. Job 1:6, 2:1, 38:7, Psalm 29:1. Lots of places. That they were fear, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, wait a minute, you can say, well, the sons of God are just good guys, humans. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Giants, my friends. Giants. The Nephilim. This is what happened. That the angels, they left the first estate, that is how God originally organized them. They looked at the daughters of men and said, I want a bit of that. And what they did was, they in some way left their own bodies, those heavenly bodies, and they took on some kind of flesh that enabled them to procreate with flesh. Now you say, there's a lot of somehow. Yeah, okay. But we know that angels do appear as human beings. People can take them into their own homes, be unaware that they're angels. They just look like human beings. They have this ability to do this. The angels of God, they are not given in marriage. They do not marry. They are not given in marriage. Yes, but the ones who rebel against that, they do. Right? They do. And we've got progeny here, which are very, very different. There is a king. He's in the scriptures. King Og, from which we get the word ogre. He's got too many toes. And his beard is massive because he's a giant. There are two eruptions mentioned here, as it says. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Even after the flood, it happened. Before the flood came to wipe them out. All of this ungodly progeny of this eruption of the angels coming in and doing their genetic breeding, their genetic experimentation with mankind. And that flood was to wipe them out. But there was a second eruption that came after the flood. And it was the sword of Israel that was supposed to wipe them out. But what do we know about the sword of Israel? They were disobedient. And therefore, they weren't all wiped out. What principle do we see going on here? Well, we see experimentation. We see experimentation with human beings. We see progeny, which were giants. But can't we extrapolate that just a little bit more? What else do we notice about angels? Well, we know that they can come in a host. They have machines. They're called chariots. But they're machines of some kind. They have them. And we also know from what Paul says that there are things under the earth. And we know in the book of Revelation that there are creatures that come out of the earth. Creatures. I think what we'll do is next time we're going to study this a little bit further, right? We'll put a little bit more meat on the bones next time. And I'll give you a possible scenario. I'm not going to say this is the gospel truth. I'm going to say here are some possibilities for what we see and we hear. I know there are some preachers, and this is what how they deal with UFOs. They say they're just demonic and they're not real because they're not real because they do these right hand turns and no one can survive right hand turns at velocities and stuff like that. And they say they're just spirit things. They're just apparitions. They're not real. The trouble is, my friends, it's going to be true. I can guarantee you it's going to happen that soon we're going to be able to turn up to a museum and you're going to see these things. You're going to see these craft. There's too much evidence that they are physical objects. Right? Anyway, so what we're going to do next time is, I'll take this a little bit further. And I'm not going to be overly dogmatic about this because, as you can see, we don't have all of the facts. We only have possibilities from what the scriptures say. And I'll be very careful to just say, well, this is my opinion and this is a possible scenario. Okay? Cool. But whatever the truth of the matter is, whatever these things truly are, we can trust God, right? We know that He's got everything in control, and we're His. And we're going to be given a resurrected body, man. We're going to just blow out all these whatever creature things around us. Because we are on His side, and He'll use us, man. And we're going to be just like Superman. Right? Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've had together. We thank Thee for the salvation we have in Christ. We pray that we would consider these passages carefully, Lord, and see the possibilities that the Scriptures present to us. And, Lord, that we could give an intelligent answer to those people who ask a reason for the hope that is within us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.